Krishna explains in Gita, Chaturvana Mayastrisam Gunakam. That he creates this system of Arnashram Dharma by his own will in order to scientifically organize society in such a way that everyone can make the best spiritual progress according to their natural qualities and the work that they perform. Atapindriya Bujaskareshas Varanasham Vibhavasha Vamustakasya Dharamasya Samsavya. That according to our varna or ashram, the perfection of our occupation and of life itself is to give satisfaction to Krishna. Daivi Varanashram means Varanashram which is performed, occupational duties which are executed in devotion to Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sri Ramananda Rai while they were sitting on the banks of the holy river Godavari at Vijayanagara, what is the goal of life? He quoted from Vishnu Purana that to execute one's duties according to the Varanashram system for the satisfaction of the Lord is the perfection of life. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to extract from Ramananda Rai higher and deeper substance of the ultimate goal of life. Sarva dharmam parityaja mame kamsharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye samunasaja. This was his next statement, and Mahaprabhu asked, go higher. He said that we should give up all varieties of occupation and religion and just surrender to Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us how to live within the highest realm of surrender, even while within the society that we live today. To the Kurama Brahman at the Kurama Kshetra, he told him, there is no need for you to renounce your family, but you live at home, you always chant Krishna's name, and whoever you meet, you preach to them Krishna Katha. In this way, become guru, become a preacher, and in this way you will achieve perfection. And to Chota Haridas, who is in a renounced order, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very strict to establish that if you're in the renounced order, you cannot be a cheater, you cannot be duplicitous. To Raghunath Bhat Goswami, when he came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, he told him apparently just the opposite of what he told Kurma Brahman. Kurma Brahman wanted to be brahmachari and live with the Lord constantly, but the Lord told him, go home, take care of your wife, children, be a good nihasta, chant Hare Krishna, preach Krishna, you will achieve perfection. To Raghunath Bhat Goswami, he told him very clearly, do not marry. Remain brahmachari. This is not contradiction. According to how we could best serve and according to how we could best make spiritual progress, Guru and Krishna arrange our life in such a way according to the system of Varanashram to make proper spiritual advancement. The Brahmachari Ashram is very sublime, and one can make tremendous spiritual advancement, providing one is a honest and genuine Brahmachari. Brahmachari doesn't mean the color of a cloth, nor does sannyasi or grihastha mean color of a cloth. It means the quality of our consciousness. Brahmachari, according to the ashram system, is the legs of the body in the humblest position. A brahmachari is meant to be completely prideless in his approach to life. Pride may be there in our heart, but a brahmachari cannot act on the basis of that pride. This is the meaning of real detachment. A brahmachari gives up his free will and independence according to the desire of the senior Vaishnavas. A brahmachari does not say no to what he's asked. A brahmachari must be willing to surrender as he's told, when he's told, and how he's told, even if it is extremely difficult. A brahmachari must be completely submissive and humble before his spiritual master and his authorities, the senior Vaishnavas within the ashram. A brahmachari must be very strict in his daily sadhana, must be very strict to not criticize others or talk idle gossip. He must be very strict in his association or in his caution to not associate unnecessarily with the opposite sex. A brahmachari must be very, very strict to be a menial servant, whether he is preaching or whether he is cleaning the floors. He's doing it as a menial service to Guru and Krishna. This is brahmachari. Such a life where we give up our independent will is a life of actual liberation and freedom. Because the independent free will, when it is exercised according to the whims of the mind and senses, is the cause of bondage. So the stricter a brahmachari is, the easier his life is. When a brahmachari is not strict, in due course of time, brahmachari life becomes unbearable, intolerable, and very difficult. But to the degree of brahmachari means extremely strict, although it may be difficult to be strict, it makes his life blissful and actually very simple. Brahmacharis have to be extremely simple. No duplicity. They should have nothing to hide. They should be straightforward, honest, and the brahmachari ashram should be a place of great harmony. There should never be fighting or quarreling in brahmachari ashram. Fighting and quarreling means false ego. Someone who is too inclined toward fighting and quarreling should find a nice wife to fight and quarrel with for the rest of his life, but not with other brahmacharis. It is a simple life, and we should preserve and maintain that simplicity within our ashram, and we should uphold the standards. And one who is willing to take on this great sacrifice in austerity can give his entire being to serving the mission of Guru and Gauranga, and it can render such incredibly valuable service to the whole society of Vaishnavas, as well as the society of all living beings within the world. Srila Prabhupada's mission is to expand Krishna consciousness. So those who are in the Brahmacharya ashram should have no other consideration in life other than assisting in expanding Srila Prabhupada's mission. Whether it means performing puja, or being trained to be preaching in the colleges, or in congregational neighborhoods, or whether one is cooking, or whether one is cleaning, or making the garlands, whatever a brahmachari is asked, we should do it in a spirit of surrender to expanding and assisting others, assisting Guru and the previous acharyas in expanding this great mission of Sri Chaitanya. Faith in Guru, faith in the disciplic succession, and the knowledge coming down is very essential to be able to maintain brahmacharya throughout our life. And a brahmachari should be, as far as possible, very learned in the scriptures, because with one's discriminatory powers, one must constantly be able to make the proper decision of surrendering to Guru and Krishna, even in the faces of the greatest opposition and difficulty in life. So today it is a very auspicious day. It is the day of the appearance of Hanumanji, who was a very great brahmachari. His example is to be followed by all brahmacharis. He was so fixed in his service to the mission of Lord Sri Ram that he just didn't consider anything else. He didn't consider what was convenient or inconvenient. He did not consider what was possible or impossible. Hanumanji avoided Grihastha Ashram simply because he didn't have time. He had too much service in the mission of his Lord Sri Ram. When he was going to bring the ring to Sita, who was in Sri Lanka, he was asked to jump across the 800 miles of the Indian Ocean. And as he jumped, the ocean god was thinking that this is a very long way and Hanuman is a great bhakta. So even the ocean wants to serve the Vaishnavas. So she wanted to give him a place to rest toward the middle of the ocean. So called ocean god called Mount Mahinda, golden mountain, beautiful fruits, bearing trees. And it came out of the ocean, very beautiful. And that Mount Mahinda, in a human form, approached Hanumanji and said, "Please rest. We are offering our seva to you. To be the servant of the Lord is such a valuable opportunity for us. So please rest here for some time, then continue your journey." But Hanumanji understood that I have a mission. I do not have time to rest. He didn't consider. But at the same time, he did not want to refuse the offering of the ocean god. So with his hand, he touched the mountain, and that touching means he accepted the offering, and then he continued his journey to Sri Lanka. So Hanuman did not consider his own welfare, his own convenience. He only considered his service. This is brahmachari life. If you have this consciousness, you can remain a brahmachari throughout your life. But if you are too much concerned with your own selfish needs, then that is not brahmachari life. When Hanumanji saw that Lakshman was wounded, Lakshman is the original guru, Balaram himself. And Ram asked him, "Bring this mountain, Dandamadana Mountain from Himalaya. Hanuman didn't question. He didn't say, Guruji, how do you expect me to bring mountains? I don't even know where it is. How will I do? No question. He just jumped. And by the grace of Sri Ram, he found the mountain. And when the mountain was not willing to give the herbs, he simply was not thinking in terms of what I can do or what I cannot do. He was only thinking in terms of what will serve my Guru Maharaj. So he lifted the entire mountain and brought it back. Hanumanji ki jai. This is surrender. Simplicity, willing to simply live for the pleasure of the Master. Therefore, Hanumanji is celebrated as one of the greatest of all brahmacharis. And because of his surrender, how he was empowered to do the impossible. Mukham karoti vachalam bhangum langayate kribhi yatri vatthamaham bandesi gurundi athara paramananda jayate. That when one has the mercy of Guru and Krishna, even if he is lame, he can cross mountains. For Hanuman, he could even lift mountains. Even if he is dumb, he can speak wonderful philosophy. Even if he is blind, he could see the stars in the sky. Even if he is blind, he could see God. So actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained that he is lame and ill-advised. How he is speaking such words? Simply because of his submission to the will of the Lord, such words, the highest truths for the enlightenment of all the world, come out from the mouth. So ultimately, our preaching is not depending on our education or our memory. Whatever memory we have, we use it to its capacity. Whatever education we have, we use it to the capacity. But the real potency of our preaching is to the degree, the extent Krishna empowers us. He gives us the words to penetrate the hearts of others. And that comes through simplicity, humility, and surrender, that Krishna gives those words. Yavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka jinantascha budhaya yavashaya. Brahmachari must be resolute in words. His aim must be one. His intelligence cannot be many branched. And that means to make Guru's order one's life and soul. Today is also Balaram's Rasa Yatra, the day when Lord Sri Balaramji performed his beautiful Ras Leela with the gopis at Ram Ghat in Prajbhumi. So you may wonder how this pertains to brahmachari life. But it is the purpose and perfection of our brahmachari life. Because the gopis, they were simply surrendering themselves to be enjoyed in their original spiritual bodies by Lord Sri Balaramji. And Sri Balaramji, he was simply reciprocating and giving them the ultimate pure spiritual ecstasy by dancing with them on the bank of Yamuna in the beautiful groves of Braja. So why do we want to be in this Krishna consciousness movement? Why do we want to surrender everything? So that ultimately we can, in our original spiritual bodies, eternally exist simply for the enjoyment of the Supreme Personality of God. Balaramji is the original spiritual master. So similarly, we should simply forsake our homes, our comforts, our everything, to be used by the spiritual master for his divine mission. And this is actually our aspiration, to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan and forsake everything for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So it is a very, very appropriate day, Balaram's Vasa Lila, to really meditate on the true virtues and the essence of Ramacharya life, and to make this commitment to a life of renunciation. It is also the appearance day of Sri Shyamananda Prabhu, who was a perfect disciple of Sri Hridaya Chaitanya. Beautiful story. He was so lovingly sent to Jiva Goswami's ashram in Vrindavan, and how along with Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda was such a perfect devotee, perfect disciple, perfect renunciate. His loving relations with Narottam and Srinivas is one of the most celebrated parts of our Vaishnava history. How they so scrutinizingly studied the scriptures together. How they were always so humbly anxious to serve the Vaishnavas. In fact, Shyamananda Prabhu was given the service of sweeping with a broom, the Seva Kuij. And he would just be in the dust for so many hours a day, just in a menial way, sweeping. Why did he sweep? He swept so that the devotees who came to visit this holy place would not feel the stones or the thorns in their feet. So the meditation was simply to the most menial service, to serve the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. In a higher sense, he was sweeping also for the divine pleasure of Radha and Krishna and their eternal lila. And because Shyamananda Prabhu took such a menial position, he actually received the very extraordinary mercy of Sri Radharani in that grove, Seva Kuij. So this is Brahmacharya. When we take the most menial, humble service of obedience to Guru's order, when we develop wonderful, loving relationships amongst our fellow God brothers, our other Vaishnavas, whom we are students studying with, and when we are completely submissive and humble before Guru, this is perfect Brahmacharya. Shyamananda also exhibited this and showed how we can achieve perfection through humility and devotion. So we are very much grateful to Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas for bestowing the great mercy of the opportunity for all of you to take this wonderful step forward of making a commitment to remain brahmacharis. It is not a vow. At the time of taking sannyas, we make a vow. The vow to never return, to never look back. But in our ashram, brahmacharis maintain the white color until they're willing to commit themselves to the principle of remaining brahmacharis. And we should know that although you are brahmacharis, not sannyasis, the color saffron represents the dignity of the renunciation of our sampradaya. And when we put on this color of saffron, we are very much responsible to uplift the faith and preserve the integrity of the principle of renunciation within the Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is a very great and deep responsibility and service. It is not something to be proud of. If wearing saffron you think that you're better than someone wearing white, then you are lower. You are the least. Saffron means renunciation. And the most important principle of renunciation is Trinara Pisu Niche Na Tarora Pisu Niche. Amani Namana Dena Kirtani Sadah. To be more humble than the straw on the street, to be more tolerant than a tree, to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Not because I am saffron, people should respect me. Because I'm saffron, I'm expected to respect everyone and expect none in return. That is the actual meaning of this color. Renunciation, detachment of the false ego. We put on this color as a service. As a service to Guru, as a service to the entire Vaishnava community, to set a particular standard of humility, detachment, simplicity, honesty, and serving. So some devotees will take this nice step forward in their realm.